Welcome to the El Arpa podcast, the home for cultural chit-chat in and outside Madrid. People will talk. Okay, so me and Mary are here for the latest episode of the El Arpa podcast, standing on a very authentic looking bar. Emmett, can you answer a question? Is there real alcohol in these bottles?
Oh, that's giving it away, isn't it? No, some we use apple juice.
Oh, very good.
Because it's not good for us to be drinking on stage.
So as you can hear, we have Emmett, a dancer, and Anthony, who is the... what is your official job title?
So I am musical director and arranger of the show.
Very good, okay. Yeah. So there's an Irish show that's been in Madrid in the Teatro Apollo in Tirso de Molina since the 18th of June, and it finishes this Sunday on the 23rd. Before we start recording this podcast, Emmett, we found out some information about you. You've been dancing for 10 years. You gave it up when you're 17 for a while. Yeah. Your knees are shot. And you love the traveling aspect of the show as well. And what character do you play in this performance?
Well, I am like the dance captain of the show. So in other words, I just make sure that everyone's on the right spots and in line, and just to make sure everybody's happy as well. It's about
drinking.
Being on stage and off stage, you know, just to make sure everyone's happy all the time, whether it's on or off stage.
That's an interesting point, because I remember watching Riverdance, which would be similar enough, I guess, in Dublin. I noticed the dancers were communicating with each other, they were smiling at each other, and there seemed to be a very good atmosphere between them. So is that something that's your job entails, that as well? And in the middle of a show, you have all these people watching you as well. How do you perform that aspect of your job as well? You're dancing, you have to remember your moves, there's the crowd, but also you have to make sure everybody's happy.
Yeah, that's actually the trickiest part of my job as a dance captain, because obviously when you're dancing on stage, you can't see everything.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're out front watching, you'd be able to see every little mistake or every little slip here or there. But it's a little harder when you're on the stage dancing with them and trying to, eyes in the back of your head, trying to see everybody. But it's good. I'm kind of got used to it now. I've been dance captain for like 6 years, so you get used to being able to look out of the corner of your eye to make sure everyone's doing the right thing. So.
Oh, wow. A lot of responsibility, but very gratifying to be this.
It's actually fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the job. It's just, don't get me wrong, there's times when people may not be perfectly happy and stuff, but it's always quite easy to resolve and make sure that we keep the same atmosphere on the stage and everybody is friends with each other, because that's the most important bit, because if there's any friction in the cast, then that shows on stage. So it's about everyone being happy on the stage, and then if that's the case, then we're always smiling and laughing and having fun, and the audience can see that too.
Okay, yeah, that's...
We have a really good team, don't we?
Yeah,
we definitely have a really good team.
So Emmett mentions that he doesn't see everything because he doesn't have eyes in the back of the head, but
you
see everything. what's that like, participating in the show but not on stage as such?
I play piano from the side, so I suppose I do get a good kind of view of everything going on. My background would be, my mother was a dancing teacher as well, so that was kind of drilled into us. Even though I don't look like a dancer, I kind of know when they're kind of doing the right things and stuff. So it's nice. We have a really good kind of partnership where we really kind of work together quite well to keep up the stamina and just the whole kind of positivity and the energy of the show. It's good, you get to see everything, you get to see how the crowd reacts as well, which is always one thing about a show is we're not so much a rigid type show where, you know, there's, you know, a lot of them shows are kind of like, you know, all these massive lines of dancers and it's kind of hands down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We are a bar, Basically, the audience and the dancers are the people in the bar. Yeah. So it's kind of like a little collaboration, trying to get the audience together, mingle. Sometimes the real bottle of whiskey, which doesn't go to the dancers, does go out with a little tiny shot. Just make everybody kind of feel really welcome.
Amazing. It's this participatory theatre.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
And a writer, but we have Toby Goff, who he plays Paddy Flynn.
Yeah.
Has a great storyline of Irish tales, I suppose. You know, he's trying to teach his son to become the landlord of the pub. And he goes through all these different generations and kind of how, you know, going through marriage and death and kind of how to run the pub and joking. There's quite a comedy kind of sketch in there as well.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a musical than it is a dance show. Like, there's a lot of comedy, a lot of acting along with the dancing and music, and there's a lot going on.
Definitely. Lots of interaction.
Do you think it's more of a like a generational story of a son, of a father trying to pass on the torch to his son, rather than a traditional Irish show?
Bingo. Oh, 100%. Got it,
yeah.
100%.
And it's really good because like there's also an element of kind of a cappella dancing as well. So like even though there is a set kind of dance and musical structure, there's areas where you get to kind of like have a little bit of a banter with the dancer and kind of bits and bobs, and then sometimes the fiddle player would get up and kind of dance with Dermod, who's Paddy's son. So it's quite
dynamic, I guess.
Yeah, it's just different, that's why I think we're doing. It's going really, really well now. We've been working on this tour now. I've been with Irish Celtic for 9 years.
Wow.
And yeah, it's like I'm getting kind of on a little bit now, and the dancers are getting a little bit younger. And it's like that, you know, maybe it's time to kind of, you know, hang up the shoes, as I say. But it is just such a lovely kind of. It is a lovely show to watch because, thankfully, wherever we go in the world, the narrator speaks the language and the story can be portrayed, and it's not just kind of like a voice coming from anywhere. You know, sometimes these shows start off with like a long ago, you know, and all this.
Yeah.
There's actually somebody really standing, telling a story, drinking with them and interacting. So it's really cool.
That's very important because like Irish people have moved a lot, as you can imagine, and the dancing and the culture, and as it combines with other cultures, it has to happen through people actually talking to each other.
Yeah.
So the show, you show that organic kind of transfer, exchange of ideas as well. And you mentioned going on tour, Emmett. You mentioned for the Champions League final, you're a Liverpool fan like myself. you're in China, weren't you?
Just finished a 3-week tour of China, and the guys actually flew back to England and Ireland, but I actually flew to Australia for 2 weeks.
Ah, well, for a bit of a holiday, no?
Holiday after, because I'd done a long tour of Australia and then straight to China, so then I went back for a little break. So I was up at 5 a.m. Australia Sydney time to watch the Champions League final.
At least the result worked out.
Thank God. Thank God.
So like the Chinese audiences, you're telling us before we press play on the microphone here that they love Irish dancing. Can you tell us a little bit more about that as well?
I don't know. I actually don't know how to answer the question, but for some reason, everywhere in Asia, they are completely obsessed with Irish dancing and the rhythms and the taps, and they just love it. Like,
they have a different kind of dynamic of like showing you that, though. So, like, in the show, it would be silent, right? So, and then like at the very end of a piece, you know, which is quite uplifting and quite lively, you would get literally a, and then it's just silent, and you're like, did they like it or not? But then at the end, they erupt.
Crazy.
They erupt.
Yeah.
And they're always like, they all come, you know, when you kind of go backstage and stuff, like they're great at kind of running around and trying to get autographs and pictures and stuff. So they do enjoy it, don't they?
Yeah, they love it. But as Anthony said, it's just, especially for this show, because the whole way through the show, we're interacting with the audience and like getting them to clap along with us. And it was definitely a different experience for us at the start. We got used to it and it was fine. We kind of knew how to change a few little things here and there. But yeah.
Also, not being able to speak, when I kind of, I suppose I spoke too soon there, but I suppose when we went to China, we did actually do it in English with a tiny little bit of Chinese, because it's quite difficult to kind of find, I suppose, an Irishman that can speak Chinese and Spanish and French, and just like, so it's just kind of, you know, we tried to adapt it, but a lot of them kind of understood it, right?
There was just like main words and main little phrases throughout the show
in
Mandarin that they were
very appreciative
able to understand, and it kind of connected the dots, even the little few words kind of connected the dots for them.
But, and also, that's what happens in a bar when you meet somebody from a different culture. You're like, you know,
totally.
John Aldridge. You say things that might register at a cultural level. And you mentioned the participatory parts of the show, and when you've gone around the world, has there ever been like maybe a resistance, like because in the part of our culture they're like, we don't want to really partake, we just want to watch, or have there been kind of been open to it?
China was kind of the first, and they loved it, as we said, but that was kind of the first time ever that we were kind of like, I don't think they like it.
I think the only thing that I've ever come across really in terms of kind of interaction, and maybe sometimes that you'd go off signing at the end, you know, after the show, so like two dancers would go, a musician would go, and you go signing.
Oh, nice.
And someone, you know, that thinks they know everything about Irish culture would probably, you know, disagree with maybe the story, you know, they didn't do that, Irish did not do this, and
like,
stuff like
actually,
that. That would be the only, but you get loads of people like that, don't you?
Anoraks, basically. Train spotters, but for Irish dancing. We learned as well that you had a Spanish TV station in here. Was it last night's recording
last night,
live?
Last night, live, yeah.
And you were also on Sálvame, I believe, the TV show. Maria is our resident Spanish person. Can you describe Sálvame to...
I must admit, I never watched it. I watched your clip, so that was quite good. I was like, this is nice that you know, this is happening in the show. I think it's mainly like a gossip show, kind of like after lunch. So it's not something I really watch. But there are a lot of people that do, and they probably were very enthusiastic. I think they really loved your things with the brooms.
With the brushes, yeah. Because when we done it as well, you don't realise, like, kind of the shots that they're using and how it's going to be portrayed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a normal TV show, you know, they started on a weird angle and it was all like kind of modern, and I kind of thought that it might have been a show like that once I seen our clip, that it was a little different to the normal like TV shots that you'd get. It was like
So it was good fun anyway overall.
It was great.
Have you appeared on TV in other countries or
I think everywhere we go there's some form of TV, radio that we have to do just for basic publicity and stuff like that. They are always kind of long kind of days for the 30 seconds that you're actually live on air. You could be there for 12 hours, right? You know, so you're just kind of waiting for your slot, not knowing. So it's kind of that's TV for you, right?
But don't worry, podcasts, we're in, we're out. There's no hassle.
That's a better job.
We don't have to put the makeup on. Should
we get into the harder questions now?
If you want to,
Oh, there we go.
No, it's okay. Now that you're completely comfortable, then we can go into it. No, well, I don't know. I was just wondering, because obviously, as a Spaniard, you know, I know a little bit about Irish culture, mainly from him. But, well, I don't know. I think in Spain maybe we have certain things that are very stereotypically Irish in our view, for example. And then some of them are in this show, of course. Like, you know, the pub. And obviously, like, some of them are true. But I don't know. How much do you think, like, this sort of show, I said it was tricky, reflects, you know, what Ireland is really like nowadays? Is it like this, you know? Do you go to the pub on the weekends? And I'm playing a bit stupid here, but
no.
Do you know, like, do you actually, like, partake in this type of culture? Or do you think it's something that only a few people do nowadays?
It's still quite, like, it's surprising that it's still actually quite common. Like, people go to the pub, like, regular enough, you know, like maybe, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, and that's kind of where everyone meets as friends. And like, especially like I'm younger, but I'm saying, like, my mum, okay, she meets up with all of her friends like once every 2 weeks, I mean, in the pub, all together, all of her friends, and they just, like, that's their big catch-up time, but it's always in the pub. So it is very stereotypical Ireland. But
I think the show kind of, we do kind of portray a community type show where, you know, because we are set in a pub, this is really what people do, right? Yeah. People dance, you know, they hear the music in the background, and there might be somebody you know, calling a poem in the corner or anything. There might be a fire on.
Yeah.
There might be, there's always music, right? Whether it's a jukebox or whether it's a, whether it's a kind of session. And that's what I think we've just tried to do with this show, as opposed to, as I said, like the generic Irish dance show, which is just normally like a dance number, song, dance number,
yeah.
song. We've, you know, there's a kind of route and a kind of like, you know, oh, let's go to the pub. You know, you see people kind of coming on from the sides, and that's them entering the pub for the night.
Yeah.
And that's what we're just trying to...
Well, there is you might have seen this because you're Irish. There's a clip that went viral of a funeral, I think, in Kerry. A few years ago, and the middle-aged man on the bar, his shirt was off, and he was singing "Killers, Mr. Brightside," and that was like for a funeral. So yeah, that is kind of like what happens in Ireland.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Whether it's a marriage, a funeral,
yeah,
or a christening, you know, we've got that in the show as well.
Actually, haven't we? In the show as
just
well.
Just stole
yeah.
that.
Oh yeah. Oh great. Yeah. I think like you know, every country has its good things and its bad things. And Ireland, I think one positive is there's a community aspect that has been able to be maintained, and probably in Spain, because I think there's a huge community aspect here in a family oriented society that they probably respond to that quite well.
Yeah.
Also, maybe. Sorry, that's got very serious there.
Oh,
that's
good.
And
I'm quite happy with your answer. I have to say, you're very good.
That's good.
You're very good.
So I think we may can ask maybe one or two more questions because
yes.
I know you have to prepare for the show and everything as well.
It's okay.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
How's your Irish?
Oh,
well, do you know, because I was talking about Irish
this.
Culture.
I actually, like, we have to study it, you know, from like,
yeah.
from like age of four until whenever you're leaving, sir, I suppose, that's 16, 17 or
18 or something. Yeah.
I don't have a word of Irish.
Oh.
I'm so bad at languages in general, and I really wish I was good because now I'm traveling the world to all these different countries. My languages are so bad.
If you could
so
speak
bad.
Chinese and all the other languages, you could be the official translator for all the shows.
No, I'm getting old now. I could do the Paddy Flynn role if I just was good at languages.
To be honest with you, I think Maria here is probably the best Irish speaker because you have studied it online.
Really?
I try. Pronunciation is really hard.
Yeah,
she realised I was making up most of the words I was telling her.
Yeah.
Do you speak any Irish?
Not a lick.
I'm the same. We are bad Irishmen.
Yeah. At least we can drink and...
Yeah, I'm good at that. I'm good at that.
Yeah, we overcompensate in that aspect. I think... is that everything you wanted to ask as well? Well, Anthony... Emmett.
Okay.
And Anthony, thank you so much for your time. It's been really, really nice talking to both of you. We're very excited for the show. And you're going to Barcelona next, I think, you know?
Yeah, Barcelona on Monday for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Break a leg and
thanks
all that.
Very much.
Or
thanks very much.
You know what they say in Spain for break a leg?
No.
You want to say it?
Mucha mierda, yeah.
So,
a lot of shit, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, because basically all the rich people would go to the shows and their horses would leave the deposits.
Oh.
And if there's a lot outside the theatre, there's a lot of people at the show. So, well, thank you so much. And,
thank you very much.
And we'll be watching with excitement in the audience.
Great
show. Today.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
No worries. So I hope you enjoyed our interview with Anthony and Emmett from the fantastic Irish show.
Irish Celtic.
Spirit of Ireland. It was genuinely an amazing show. I really, really liked it. I have a certain familiarity That was a sofa, don't worry about it. Noise in the background. As being Irish, I have a certain familiarity with these things. Also, I've been to see Riverdance twice. Now, it wouldn't be fair to harp on about Riverdance because they're two different shows. So I have seen a lot of examples of this genre, and this was refreshing. It was really nice. They did a super job, I think, with the musical. Because Anthony mentioned in the interview that it was more a musical than a traditional Irish dancing show. And there was a story there. There was singing, there was dancing, and a narrator, the owner of the pub, who was connecting the vast swathes of Irish history into a coherent story, but also the story of himself and his son and the things happening more or less around the town as well. So I think it benefited greatly from that. It was refreshing. He mentioned in the interview that some shows start with this voiceless narrator, which is how Riverdance incidentally starts as well. And having a kind of more direct conduit or avatar for the audience really helped the show as well. Now, the guy who played the story is the owner of a bar, and his son loves dancing with brooms and drives his father demented because he wants that his son gets married and also takes on the bar, passes it on from generation to generation. And basically there's that personal story, but also the story of the Irish in terms of emigration, colonization and things like that. But also a nice touch at the end where the bar owner does a brinda, like he does a salute. How do you say that in English? When you
toast,
that's it. Because we say "slancha," you say like "bridamos," you know.
Yeah.
And to like the great people of Ireland and Spain, maybe may we be forever friends. And as you said to me, by the way, incidentally, I've never sat next to a person who spoke so much during a show before. If it wasn't you, I'd be mortified, but I'll let you off. So. I totally enjoyed that other direct aspect of the show as well. The narrator being direct, and you also like being a direct thread of the story as well. It was fantastic. So where I lost the thread of my own story.
Well,
there.
No, I was just thinking you must have not sat next to Willie's badges because that's what people are like. Normally gets on my nerves, but I mean these like well we were
in the bar. No?
Exactly.
Yeah, so we had to talk, yeah.
Exactly, and they were talking about our things,
exactly,
so we
yeah.
had to comment on them as well.
Exactly, so I think we did that very, very well. Also, oh yeah, what I want to say was, like he says, like a toast to the people of Spain and Ireland, like we're forever friends. Now, as we said, or as he said to me, he turned to me and said, in the middle of the show, yeah... He probably says that in China and all that crack as well. And they probably do, but, you know, as we've been banging on this podcast and this blog article, like, Spain and Ireland do have all these amazing connections. So just to see that reflected by someone who wasn't us is kind of nice as well, because it kind of shows, like, that what we believe in, other people are believing in it also. Now, believing isn't a... It's just the verb you can't put in the ing. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so what did you think of the narrator's Spanish? Because what is amazing is that it seems that for most of the shows, they have the narration of the story in the local language. I don't think he was a native Spanish speaker. Well, he's not a native Spanish speaker. I don't think he spoke it or speaks it, but he learned it for this performance. And yeah, it was quite interesting.
Yeah, I was quite shocked, to be honest. This is something I didn't know, and Anthony mentioned in the interview, and I was like, really? You know, I started thinking, okay, maybe he does it. Obviously, Emmett was saying how he wished he could play that role and all this, and then I was thinking, really, he does it in a different language? And then, I mean, I wasn't expecting him to do the whole thing in Spanish, and... He was really good, and what surprised me was that I don't know if he speaks Spanish or he just learned it, but he kept on self-correcting when he made some mistakes with the articles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, he kept apologizing, but he had nothing to apologize for.
I think that's part of the show as well, though.
He spoke really well. Yeah.
So you were too busy talking to me to notice that, maybe.
No, I know that is part of the show, but you know, it just... Well, it just added to the whole thing of making it natural.
Yeah.
So,
like, these guys... there's no point pulling the faces off the microphone. Anyway, so these guys are on Salvame, which is a daytime gossip show, and also they had a TV station in filming them live one of the nights during the week as well. So it's kind of cool as well. There has been some exposure, and they traveling around the world, and they were in China previous, as you heard in the interview, and now they're off to Barcelona after their run in Madrid. One thing I thought was interesting, because we didn't get around to asking them, because the conversation, as it does, takes its own turns and you just have to follow it. But we were like, you know, wondering about Irish dancing as a cultural entity, because when it comes to Irish music and Irish literature and even Irish movies, I think they're dealing with a lot of contemporary themes. Like Roald Dahl's movie was about the housing crisis. Junior Brother, I think we've mentioned in a previous podcast, is about kind of surreal take on being hung over in mass. And we're wondering, like, what place does Irish dancing have in the Irish story anymore? Is it just preserving under cling film Irish culture? And we were discussing about Afrofuturism and how African American styles of culture kind of progress or advance the culture and the people behind it. You dance Bollywood. In fact, we were looking for Bollywood garments today before the podcast. And Bollywood is also something that's very vibrant and not only does it represent the people, but it's something that's being produced as an organic entity in a way that perhaps the Irish dancing show doesn't do that. Not this particular one, I mean Irish dancing in mm-hmm. general, because as a counterpoint, the show that we did see, even though it's set in a bar and you could think, well, it could be a bit like stereotypical. You know, we did discuss how, like, the bar is something that's central to Irish life in a very positive way as well. And it does reflect that, but also it does reflect kind of new stories or other stories in the show. So I think the show is refreshing because apart from the technical abilities of the singing, there's a great rendition of Departing Glass, a great dance-off, which you can tell us more about because you have a tap dancing background. So apart from that kind of high level, I think they did a great job of just telling kind of a new story through this medium of Irish dancing. So I really like that as well. So in terms of the dance-off, there's one point where there's like a dance-off between the Shannos, Osaya dancing, which the son dances, and then three or four of the lads who dance the newer version, which is River Dance. And then the audience has to participate and guess the winner or judge the winner. You were impressed by that because you know how hard it is to generate such force with these heavy shoes. Isn't that correct?
Well, it's not so much that shoes are heavy, but that even you kind of assume because you have plates on them, you know, like metal plates, that they're going to make a lot of noise. But then when you're doing the steps, like when you're doing tap dancing, for example, it's like it's quite hard to. Because really, when you move, you don't put the same force as if you just stamp the floor with your foot. So it's really hard to do that and so quickly. I mean, you need to have a lot of technique and a lot of practice, and that's pretty amazing. I mean, it looks easy when you see it, and you don't realize how hard it is until you try to do it. And another thing related to that, about what you were saying about dancing. The guys in the interview about how, for example, some of the women didn't, you know, they didn't have their arms down like they usually do for dancing. They were more dynamic. And that is something that I noticed when I was watching the promo video, that I noticed like one of the girls just had arms like flapping all over. And it struck me because when we went to see the other show of like Spanish dancers that are dancing, doing Irish dancing, they care very much to that thing of keeping the arms down. And when you see Riverdance, you see that as well. But when we were watching, it is true, like he pointed out how it was more dynamic because it was supposed to be people dancing, you know, in the pub, they just got up and started dancing. So I think that was an aspect that added to it feeling dynamic and being part of the story.
I think Anthony mentioned as well in the interview about the improvisational elements of the show, which is to say, he mentioned that, you know, one of the nights maybe someone dances with the fiddle player, which I don't think happened when we were there. But the show is that if you do go along to different nights, you will see other things because it's spontaneous in the way that going to a bar would be, because you might do the same things, talk to the same people, drink the same drinks, and maybe dance the same dances, but every night has its own energy. and its own character and its own quality. And again, that really adds to the world they've created within the show, I think.
I think, definitely. Another important thing about that, I think it is the storytelling, because we've mentioned in the interview, and I particularly asked both Emmet and Anthony about the stereotypes, you know, portrayed, whether they are real, whether they're always thinking, we're always thinking that Irish people are dancing and singing and all this. But for example, storytelling, I think is a very important aspect of Irish culture that perhaps is not so known internationally. Obviously, like Irish literature is very well recognized, but I don't think we know so much about storytelling. And obviously, improvisation is a key aspect of storytelling. If you went to listen to the same, I want to say the word, Shanchai or something like that.
Shanky.
Yeah. Spanish pronunciation. So if you listen to like one of these storytellers, every time they would say in a different way, for sure. And they would pick on things of the audience and modify that way.
Yeah.
There was a thing that I noticed that he said, oh, like, you know, drink this stuff that I brought from Carrefour, you know? Like.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example,
which is a Spanish supermarket. Yeah, it's a local reference. Yeah.
A French supermarket we have in Spain everywhere. So, but then all the lads sort of laughed when he said that. And it really seemed to me like they were generally laughing because they weren't expecting him to say that. So, I think the person that plays the character of Paddy Flynn, the owner of the pub, he's very good at keeping, you know, those dynamics and making it more natural.
Well, I think what it does show, because the storytelling aspect is interesting. Like broadly speaking, Irish people are good storytellers. Again, that sounds like it's stereotypical, like the Blarney kind of thing. But I think it is part of our culture. What's interesting, though, is that this show also has a storytelling of Irish history. So you have the storytelling where he's related to his son and the back and forth. Well, not really the back and forth, but just a bit of banter with the audience. And that's kind of the Irish storytelling in the just the general sense. But in terms of the Irish storytelling in terms of passing on stories and our history, as I've probably alluded to in other podcasts, you know, as a nation, we have a very troubled relationship with that, because we still struggle with this post-colonial hangover, and it kind of comes down to if we say something that's pro like the nationalist movement in the 20s, it's biased. But if we say something that's actually neutral but not really neutral, rather bordering on being very kind to the British, it's mature and intellectually honest. And there are a lot of examples if you go to museums around Ireland, where you'll see this kind of reticence, this fear of actually saying anything of that's wrapped in green, white, and gold. And I don't mean that in a nationalist chest beating sense, but in terms of a nationalist history narrative. Well, I shouldn't say nationalist, because people who aren't Irish will misunderstand that, I think, because nationalism has a bad rap in most countries. But what I want to say is that that in our country, we're just very scared of owning our past as if we've transgressed or done something wrong in seeking our own independence. And like this show is a dancing show, so it doesn't go into the nitty gritty of these things, but at least there is a historical narrative arc there that isn't afraid to, again, it's not saying anything controversial or crazy, but at least it's not worried about stepping on anybody's toes, you know. So there's that aspect of it as well. Like it's painted in broad strokes, but like I think it is a rare example of a storytelling tradition that focuses on our past, that isn't afraid to do so, because in a lot of ways like other resources, even if you, there's tomorrow, if there's a newspaper story about another movie about the Irish independence, there'd be this soul-searching and this hand-wringing and this moralizing and bending over backwards to try and, like, you know, rejected in some kind of way, you know. So yeah, I think that was also refreshing. I mean, that wasn't the main focus of the show, obviously. There's not the main point. It was to show Irish culture, Irish dancing, have a bit of a laugh, and they did that fantastically well. But there was a little smidgen of that aspect as well that I liked.
See how I needed to keep commenting while we were watching, because I had to point out all these things.
You also mentioned there was a famous Spanish film critic sitting next to us who was explaining to his, I guess, his wife or mistress. Oh, what are you joking? About Irish history. I was trying to listen, but you kept talking to me, so I couldn't.
Oh, come on. Like,
so I couldn't actually follow it, but...
Next time you can go on your own show.
So I guess it had a broad... I mean, there's young people, old people, people like us in between, youngish, broad cross-section. Fun for all the family, I would say, you know?
Yeah. I think Irish dancing and singing attracts a lot of people. There are a lot of young people that have been to Ireland to learn English, and other people are just really passionate about the country. And even when they were saying slantia and things like that, people knew the word and reacted to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, seems we're quite keen on Ireland.
So well done, lads, and the lads that we interviewed and all the people involved in the production. It was a superb night, really enjoyed it, 5 stars without a shadow of a doubt. So now a bit of housekeeping. Our next podcast, we'll probably have to resume Chernobyl, because we promised we would talk about it. The Russians apparently want to make their own version of it, so we can talk about that a little bit more. And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter,
Facebook,
the old Patreon there as well, and our blog, irishsliceofmadrid.com. That's irishsliceofmadrid.com, and you can find the blog version of this interview there as well. And you can listen to us on any platform, of course. And I think that's more or less.
Yep. That's it.
All right. Well, good luck.
Bye.
The El Arpa Podcast, the home for cultural chit-chat in and outside Madrid. People will talk.